irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have Terrell Jackson.
What's up, team?
It would be, yeah.
There we go.
There you go. Terrell Jackson and Taj Jackson, who is here, but he's not here. He's coming through the door. So you'll hear Taj in a second. But we are live on the Power of Love show. If you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. Later on in our show, we will open it up to take a few questions via Twitter. Is phone calls okay today as well? Phone calls are okay, right, Taylor? So we may take some phone calls as well. If you have a question about the topic that we are talking about and you want to ask, then you can either send us a tweet at DDJ Foundation, or you can call us at 323-203-0815. Again, that number is 323-203-0815. As for the disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. Again, we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Without further ado, I'll start with you, Terrell. How was your week?
Well, it's been crazy.
It's been wild, right?
Yeah, a lot has been going on in our area.
Yeah.
With
these fires.
It started with the Thousand Oaks shooting.
Oh, that's right, Terrell. I forgot about that.
And it's so crazy because the fires are so huge that...
It kind of overshadowed.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Terrell.
There's just a lot going on.
Because that happened the next...
The day before?
Well, it happened the day after our last show, the shooting. That was
Right?
Right. And it's right in our backyard. It's, for me, it's 15 minutes away. But you're 100% right. I never thought of it that way. The fires have kind of...
Everything was really close to home.
Wow. You kind of threw me a curveball with that shooting because...
people forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking because that's something that, you know, I have a teenage son, 19, and there's a good chance friends of his either were going to go or could have went. And again, my heart was broken for these young, innocent people who lost their lives in a festive opportunity.
I saw somebody on Instagram. There's a couple of people, actually. I saw somebody promoting the night, and I was just, you know, you read that and you think they have no idea what was about to happen. And then actually a friend of mine, he lost somebody in the
shooting?
Shootings. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, it's just really close to home, you know? And it's sad. It's scary. It's sad. It just happens too often.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that something will come of that and some change will be made in some way. As a parent, you know, as a family member, scary. As a friend, it's just scary, you know, and we're blessed to have freedoms and to be able to do things. But at one point we should be able to do it knowing our lives are going to be impacted or intact when we get home and we don't have to worry about a shooting or anything. Taj, you want to talk about your week?
Basically it was all of that, and then also just kind of preparing because the due date is the 20th,
which is what, next week? 6 days.
Yeah, but she can be any day,
this might be your last show.
This might be my last. I'll call her from the hospital. But I mean, yeah, so that was just crazy too, because when we got, you know, I was on evac standby. And it was kind of scary because I was like, if I have to go to the hospital, then I won't be able to go back home. So I had to move some stuff, some valuable stuff, and give it to some friends because
you didn't know. Yeah.
I didn't know. So, you know, a lot of mom stuff and other
so
stuff.
So we were evacuated, yes, as you both Friday morning, and we just yesterday were able to return back to Calabasas. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you just don't know the status. You know, it's not a topic I know much about. I don't know fires and winds, mm-hmm. and but one thing I did know is I could see it getting closer and closer as time was going by.
When it was happening,
yeah. You know, Thursday night, I barely slept because, you know, you got to keep an eye on it, yeah. you know, and Pops got evacuated.
Yeah.
Who lives the next street over. He got evacuated, I think around 11 PM, but we didn't. So the decision was, should we have left then or will it turn the other way? So we actually decided to sleep at least a couple hours. And then we actually went off to Corona.
Yeah.
But it was scary.
Yeah.
It's really
what is the status in terms of
I believe it's close to 40% contained now.
Okay.
But you know, there's still a fire going on, I think new one in Lake Sherwood area.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where we're all fortunate, and at the same time, you know, we have to unite as one as a community to help those who aren't.
Yeah.
Lives and lost their property.
And it goes right in line with what we talk about, loss, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot, oftentimes from our personal story, we talk about losing a loved one, but this is also another mm-hmm. type of grief and significant type of loss that you have to deal with. I had heard a story from someone I know that one of their friends was in Mexico and came back and their house was literally gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a staircase. So that's a process that they're going to have to go through to understand what's been lost and how it's been lost and to regroup, you know? So again, all of our hearts and the foundations, we all are there for everyone who's dealing with that loss. And that's something we're going to look into, is doing a show on loss of, mm-hmm. from, you know, something like a fire and just, I think, loss of a home. I don't know other type, you know, there's hurricanes and things like that, but it's a significant loss that I think sometimes people just think, well, you didn't lose anyone, so it's not such a significant loss.
Then you start thinking about all the things that you lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick. Just wanted to thank all the, I don't want to say fans, but just all the people that asked about us or wanted to know our well-being as well. Our family, we heard you and thank you very much.
Yeah. Very well said, Taj.
Thank you.
Thanks for reminding. Okay. So you guys ready to start? We have a really cool guest in.
All right.
You guys ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. We have with us Lily Doolin. I should have asked before.
It's okay. I say Doolin if you're fancy. So either or.
Doolin. I'm fancy.
I'm not fancy.
Doolin.
Okay. So we have Lily. Mm-hmm. You never heard that one.
I was
going
to say, get the first name right. Okay.
That wasn't an option.
Lily is an MFT psychotherapist with a master's degree in clinical psychology and a master of fine arts in creative writing from Antioch University, Los Angeles. She played an instrumental role in starting the GLBT Affirmative Psychology Specialization at Antioch University. Miss Doolin, and be fancy for a second, also holds a Master of Arts degree in teaching from Simmons College
50-50 chance.
In Boston, Massachusetts, and is a certified Heart of Yoga teacher. She studies spiritual coursework at Agape International Spiritual Center, under the tutelage of Reverend Michael Brennan Beckwith. And she's raising the roof on is that because of Mr. Reverend Michael, or what is that for?
I love Reverend Michael. Was there with him last night, and he's just...
He's a special person, huh?
He's a special person and was a light in our grief.
Okay. Oh, wow. So I'm going to ask you why real quick. What was it that made him so special? Was it his composure? What is it? His patience?
Well, he canceled a trip to be there when our little angel passed. And he posed a question to me, which was, Lily, you can choose to grow or shrink from this tragedy. Mm-hmm. And in the moment that he said that, I was like, I knew I had to grow.
Mm.
And,
Okay.
Wow.
So, first of all, we commend you for being here, Lily. Mm-hmm. We know how difficult it is. We have 2 years worth of shows.
Over 100
shows. Of doing this.
And it's still
difficult.
Yeah.
So if you need time, we have all the time in the world. We are here with you. Thank you, because there are people listening around the world who will be inspired by you, who will gain strength from you, and will gain light from what you have to offer. Before I get more into your story, I have to ask, what is a Heart of Yoga teacher?
Well, firstly, I want to thank you for being here to hold the space. I mean, seriously, it's a big deal to take a step and have a show like this in a culture that doesn't support the grief process. And Heart of Yoga is not bendy twisty yoga.
Okay.
It is heart-centered yoga that focuses on the breath. And just, you know, when Kara passed, I didn't want to breathe. I told Mark Whitwell, the founder of Heart of Yoga, I don't feel like breathing. So there was that time where breath was not really something I was into, which is very telling. But little by little, I just began to breathe, very restorative breathing. We could all do it right here if we wanted to.
Is that similar to... You have a question?
No.
Oh, is that similar to... Maybe I'm wrong. Is it somewhat similar to like meditation?
The founder of Heart of Yoga believes that yoga and meditation should not be separate, that the relaxed state happens. You know, when you're like in a power yoga class and you do those poses and then you find yourself lying on the floor and all time stops and you're just in that quiet space for a minute. He says that the meditation part is given. It's a city. It's given.
Yeah.
Once you're.
Yeah. Is that something you try to practice almost daily?
Almost daily. just like if one day you don't comb your hair, the next day.
You definitely
do it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is. Okay, I'm just going to give a little background on your story. Lily and her husband, they lost their child, who was just 2 months old, to SIDS several years ago. And Taj is going to be a first-time parent.
Yes.
And I have to say, even me, I have four kids that I've had since baby. That's one of my... And my wife's biggest fears is SIDS. It's something that we don't know much about as a society. And I don't know the science behind it, but I don't know if it's something that there's, you know, a practice you could do to help prevent it, which I didn't think there is. It can just happen. And
there's nothing you can do.
And there's nothing you can do. So with that in mind, it's a fear in every, or I'd say the vast majority of new parents who are dealing with a young baby. And you're the first person that I have met that has had that happen to. And again, I want to thank you for being on here, because whether it's a listener today or one that has, you know, that will discover us next month, next year, who has to go through that path, you'll help shine some light. So I appreciate you being here. And my brothers do as well.
I just appreciate you all being here so much, and the courage it takes to create show after show and walking through.
So I have to ask one question, then we'll move on, because I'm always sensitive to people's feelings. Can you just tell the process of how you got through it? And I know everyone grieves differently, so. In here, there's no judgment on whether that's the right or wrong way to grieve. Everyone has the right way, has their own way, and that is the right way. And I think that's something that our society fails to do. They fail to explain that and to make sure everyone understands that, because whether it's through movies, whether it's through articles, maybe not articles, but for some reason we're like programmed that there's only one right way to grieve, and it's not even really the healthy way, because we, a lot of times we shut ourselves down and just cry in a corner. But can you just walk us through how you are able to, or what you're going through still today?
No apology necessary. Mm. I'm honored to share my process really and truly. And I, firstly was the initial, what Reverend Michael did when he said, you have a chance to grow or shrink from this. Mm. And that little bit of light came through. And then the second thing was knowing, you know, when that fog sets in, a lot of people feel the fog, they can't cry. I had that fog. And somehow through my training as an MFT therapist, I was told on one retreat or another, that my nervous system is there to protect me. So my nervous system brought the fog on, or God or the universe, that fog was there to protect me. And I feel, you know, in some ways the fog sometimes still comes, because if I were to feel the enormity of the grief, I had this experience where I was lying in bed and I felt the wave, the enormity of that grief just come over me. And I felt it for maybe, it felt like an eternity, but it was probably only 5 seconds. Mm. And it was the universe's way, or God's way, of showing me, this is why you're numbed out. Because if you felt how big that tragedy is, you'd be sucked under. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's very powerful.
Yeah.
And that's the first time. Have you guys ever heard someone say the nervous system is there to protect
you? No.
It's the first time I've heard that, and I love that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very powerful. It's kind of like one of those things they say in on a different side of it. If you get seriously injured, your body goes into shock. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of those things where your body numbs itself or whatever. And you were saying healing, Terrell?
Yeah, the goosebumps and things can get cold. I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Mm. So I appreciate you mentioning that, because oftentimes we forget how amazing our natural body is, and why it does. Sometimes we can't articulate or understand why it does certain things. So it's the very first time I've heard that, and I think that's very powerful. Mm. On a quick side note, what is an MFT?
Marriage and Family Therapist.
I should have known but that.
We do.
It's actually good that you don't know that.
That was asked by Taj, by the way.
I'm confused about it too, because we don't necessarily work with just married people.
Yeah.
So I think the title, they need to revamp the title.
We're laughing because I have a family blog that is based on family. So that's something I definitely should have known. Okay. So thank you for sharing that story. And I know, like we said, and we know it's not an easy thing to do. Fast forward, you have two beautiful daughters.
Yes.
You want to talk about them as well as any role they may have played for you?
Yes. Everything happens for a reason, or to breathe, or any number of things. So I want to be sensitive to those people out there who are hearing this. But I do believe personally, but it took me a while to come to that. I believe that our daughter Kara came through so that we would go through the adoption process. I believe it was in the divine plan for me. I'm noticing I may sound like a religious woman. I'm not necessarily a religious woman. I am spiritual. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with being religious, but she came so that these two babies could come through, and I cut the cord for both of them. I was in the room.
Wow.
And I know, I mean, I could go off on a whole tangent about why I know my oldest was supposed to come, but I'm going to save that for another.
I love that. I know where you're going. I love that. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can ask me anything.
Why did you go the adoption route after Kara's passing?
Okay. I'm 40, almost 49.
Okay.
But it was still possible because Kara passed just over 9 years ago. It'll be 10 in May. The grief is still raw. I still live every day, right? But there's joy, possibility in my life. I have Kara did come through in vitro. I'm open about that. I want to bust the taboo about talking about death, grieving, menopause.
It's important.
I mean, you know, we just...
And to add, I love how you just flat out said your age. You know,
Thank you.
I think that's a beautiful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. No. So it was more maybe age-based.
But the adoption... my fertility doc, Dr. Bob Friedland, may he rest in peace. He's passed, which has been another... kind of grieving the man who brought this beautiful child into the world. I have a friend, a dear friend who was adopted herself. And one day we were having coffee and she was holding her newborn adopted son in her arms. She tried in vitro 8 times and it didn't work. And, you know, the hormones just make you like, it's just nuts. So on top of grieving, I did one round and the hormones and grieving do not. So my friend is holding her beautiful son and she looks at me and she's like, Lily, why don't you just adopt? And in that moment, everything stopped. And I was like, why don't I? Look, she's adopted. She has this beautiful son. And we just went on the adoption journey. And
was it something you thought about even prior to?
You know, that's interesting. That's a very evocative question. That really is. Because I don't know. I mean, maybe we do have sort of a cellular knowingness of what we are going to do. It hasn't been proven by science, but I kind of feel like, and this is heavy, I mean, but I just felt like a part of me always knew.
It's interesting.
And on so many levels, you know, like I kind of have this sense that I wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. That's some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Daryl?
No, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And it's hard enough doing a show, and discussing it, but we all agree it's very necessary and needed in our world today. So I don't want to be insensitive to anything.
No, you cannot.
But I'm curious to know. First of all, I have two baby boys, 7 and 10. I couldn't imagine losing any child. Any parent can imagine that. And I've never really thought about this until you were speaking. Number one, I'm obviously not a woman. So losing a child and then trying again and caring, how is that? How difficult? Because obviously you're trying to have another child, but at the same time, I'm sure it's a constant reminder in a sense, or am I wrong?
No, this is good stuff. I have a duty as a person who's chosen to make a life out of surviving and thriving through grief, because there's no way around, right? We have to move through. And I will say, you know, there were, it was very difficult at the first go around with my beautiful older daughter, who's now going on 8 years old. Well, first of all, birthdays get all confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I found myself once crying, signing her up for dance, you know, like years later for a dance class. And then my coping, I will say my husband picked up the pieces because I was afraid of losing her so much, of going through the same thing again. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness his coping mechanism was helicoptering.
Mine, which is different than yours.
Mine was, you know, afraid to actually, once we got past the 6 month mark, I was better. But fortunately, friends and family were there, and we had her 16, or adopted her 16 months, just 16 months after the, so, you know, the bonding issue. And we talk about it because I'm blessed to be a psychotherapist, that I'm able to share with her now and say, "Mommy is sorry." And I'm blessed that we were able to have help with that bonding, you know, that's so important. Mm-hmm. By the time the little one came along, I'd moved through some more and was able to really have the infant mother bond. But, you know, to anyone out there who's, you know, miscarriages we don't talk about in our society, there's a great doctor, Dr. Ivy Margolis, who works specifically about, you know, this taboo, women can't talk about their miscarriages. And, you know,
can I ask a quick question on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that partially because there's an embarrassment with it, or a sense of failure for the woman?
You know, that's a good question. And I don't even think as a society, we don't even go there. Everything, we live in this culture where we're supposed to just sweep things under the rug and move on and act as if and put a smile on and, you know, get out there. And I think there needs to be a real cultural shift around how we deal with grief of all kinds. We just don't.
It's life.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, to the moms out there who are suffering or, you know, having problems bonding, even mothers who have the children, sometimes there are things biologically on a level that prevent that attachment from happening. And just to recognize, you know, we're human beings to walk through. It takes a village, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, or we hope we'll come back to that somehow.
Yeah.
All right. I don't.
I have a question.
Sorry.
How did your background in psychology and being a psychotherapist, how did that help you in any way get through what's an incredible loss and grieving period?
I feel it prepared part of the plan, right? I mean, if we thank God, I had that training in order to contextualize I was able to intellectually contextualize my own suffering. It didn't make the suffering go away.
Correct.
But it certainly helped
you understand
the
process. Mm-hmm. What would you advise everyone out there who doesn't have that background? If there is, I know you could probably go on and on, but if there's a couple of things or even one thing that you would suggest that gave you, I don't want to say the word, but I'll say it, but some type of an advantage or some type of help in dealing with it. What was that one thing that you would tell the person without that background?
I say it over and over again. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. No right or wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Period. the end and don't let anyone tell you that you should be over it.
Okay. And to piggyback off that, we were talking before we started the show about It's Okay, You're Not Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a book.
Megan Devine, yeah.
By Amazing. Megan Devine that you, I have not read. Have you guys read?
No.
I think I've heard of that. It's okay.
I feel like I've heard
to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to not be okay.
Haven't read though, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
None of us
I've
have read
that
it.
Quote though. I like it.
Yeah.
You've read.
And a lot of my thoughts today are colored by her groundbreaking work.
Hmm.
That there's no timeline on grieving. We don't. I mean, in essence. Life carries with it a certain amount of grief, I think. And we've got to get beyond the silence and the glossing over.
Yeah.
That would be my one.
And that's something I think we at least try to discuss on every show, that losing is part of life. It's part of our society, but our society always celebrates the winner. And we, you know, we celebrate, we have parties, we have, you know, championship trophies. Rings and, but the loser is just thrown away and like isolated.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what we've always tried to do, done is try to help the loser in a way, understand that process.
I commend you for coming week after week.
Yeah.
Because it takes, you know, having suffered,
yeah.
you know, the tragic I mean, unspeakable. I mean, I know they say it's like apples and oranges. You can't compare despair, but I mean to suffer the loss of your mother, your beloved mother, the way that you did is horrific. And if my facial expressions don't emulate that, it's because it's uncomfortable for me. And so for you to sit with the discomfort in service to people.
But you know what's so interesting, and I think my brothers would agree, we didn't do therapy or counseling when we were young. I think it was suggested, but we just were very private and didn't see
a lot
the
of
purpose.
It was trust for us.
A lot of it was trust issues. But this has been like our kind of therapy and counseling. So even though we're coming here week after week and servicing, quote unquote, servicing others, it's a great service to us, you know, and it helps just talking about it. And it reminds me of what you said earlier. You can't go around it. You have to go through it. And when you going through it is talking about it, discussing it, being open about it, you know, and I think I'm hoping that one day our society will really understand that and grasp that concept, because it still feels like, you know, we try to silence, as a whole, we try to silence and isolate losing. But it's something that we have to understand as people, that the best way to get through it is to be open about it and connect, you know, and there's a lot of power in that. And one more thing I wanted to say before one of them to come in, now that when you were just talking about us losing our mother, it actually reminded me of a brief moment that I don't even think they know about, as in my brothers. But leading up to her passing, it wasn't strong, the ideas or mental things I was going through, but I would think about what it would be like to not have to lose a parent. I do remember feeling that prior to her passing. And it reminded me of kind of what you were saying with the adoption thing. And I don't know what that means, but I'm not trying to scare anyone if you have thoughts, but I can kind of relate to that, you know?
You know, life is the great mystery, you know, that we're just in. Thank you for giving voice to that. And then just going, you know, going off what you said. Well, I mean, I don't want to scare anyone either. So, but it is interesting, you know, how as a modern society, we have lost our almost innate sense of intuition.
Why is that, though? Do you think society or whatever makes fun of it? Is it because we don't understand it? It's because in today's world, we're so quick to understand everything and be able to explain things. When we can't explain something, we kind of just discredit it or throw it away.
That's a good point. I think for so long, as you know, as a human species, we wanted dominion over nature with industrialization. And I mean, now there is a movement to get back to the natural biorhythms. But look, we're here in LA, we can't even see the stars, mm-hmm. you know? And so that kind of obscures, or it's like another veil around.
I love the way you think.
Thank you. Really. Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you.
I can hang with you.
Thanks.
No, it's great, because I've never thought of it that way, you know, and there's not enough respect for me. We were just talking about that, Terrell, right? Well, maybe it was one of the ones on the list, the 27 things that help you deal with grief.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things
about the nature, you know, and the power of nature.
Spending time with nature.
It's a powerful thing, you know, and it's a very interesting point, you know, at least in the major cities, there is a lot of pollution and you know, obstacles maybe, but...
you had two episodes on... The 27 ways.
Yeah,
right?
three.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very interesting because I think it has something to do with the sound of water, you know, and just hearing the wind blow. I think those are all soothing things. And just, I don't know. I think often back to the time when my mom passed, I stayed at Auntie Janet's beach house for a while, and just hearing the waves was soothing. And I don't know. It was a lonely feeling, but it was also comforting. If that makes any kind of sense, I don't know.
It does.
I agree with that, Terrell.
You know?
Yeah. Now that you say it that way, I agree with that. And for me, there was something about, this is interesting, there's something about being in a new environment that was healing for me.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously I needed you guys with me, and you guys were, but there is something about being... Because I'm not a beach person, and I'm not a guy who likes the water. But there was something that was, I think it was the nature thing.
Yeah.
I think it was the nature thing. Just being connected to nature, it reminds you of the rhythm of life goes on.
Because that's what. Because I'm not a beach person either.
Yeah.
Although I love looking at it and I love hearing it, I don't really go out on the beach. But just hearing the constant waves, it just life keeps going, life keeps moving. You know.
Yeah. Did you want to say something? Or? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to force you to. It just looked like you were going to.
I'm thinking about all of that and like how grief affects us and coming back to the breath and not wanting to breathe. And then, you know, I had lung issues, like the bioenergetic, just biologically, grief affects different areas, and I couldn't breathe for a while, like literally.
How did you get through that, Lily? I mean,
that's where, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be like,
you know,
especially when it comes, like, I don't want to like be so, you know, when it comes, I like.
This is your show.
You're so sweet.
Talk about it.
You're so sweet. I had chronic bronchitis and asthma and was on tons of inhalers. And it's because I think I couldn't open up to the waves of the ocean. Like I was shrinking. Even though I knew I'd made the choice to grow, I was shrinking. And so I started hiking in the mountains. You know that crunchy sound on gravel?
Yeah.
Like I would let that soothe me. You know, just that crunch, crunch. And I began thinking about Kara's name. So I knew I wanted to do something in her honor, and that's how the Kara Love Project came into being. And it started before it had a name, hosting a camp, Kuumba camp, that Ricky Byers Beckwith, the choir director at Agape, founded.
Mm-hmm.
So we hosted the camp, and then, and I would hike, and I would think of Kara's name, and you know, because really, I mean, that was it. That's all I had left was the name Kara.
Yeah.
You know, and Kara, and through that, we developed the Kara Love Project, and eventually the name work, which is an arm of the Kara Love Project. And I made an acronym of her name, K-A-R-A. K being for kindness, A for alignment, R for regeneration, and A for action. And really started to actively embody the qualities in Kara.
Yeah.
And then it just started there.
And what you're talking about is the name work.
Yes.
And the name work is a card deck, A to Z card deck.
Mm-hmm.
You presented us each a deck of cards prior to the show.
Thank you.
And I was looking through the cards, and they're fantastic.
Thank you.
We have literally 7 minutes left of show.
Oh, my goodness.
So what I would, if it's okay with you, I would love to not visit this completely today and have you back to do maybe a show on this, because we still have to talk about the Kara Love Project.
I would love to come back and do your names.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
So again, this isn't available for public or for sale.
You can go to www.thenamework.com and we only have a small this is the test run. So we only have a small number, but I'm happy to you know, put a deck in the mail for as long as supplies last. So you can catch me
and
free
of charge.
Free of charge. It's part of our foundation's work.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do another show at some point on this, because I think
we'd
this is
it.
A show shows
love
worth.
It.
Okay. So now with that aside, there will be a future The Name Work show. But I want to talk about Kara Love Project, because when I heard about it, it kind of reminds of what we did, you know, and it reminds me of what Reverend
Michael Beckwith,
Michael Bernard Beckwith, what he has suggested of you have to either thrive and in a way doing the foundation. I think it was something my brothers and I, from naming a daughter Dee Dee, which I got to do first because I had the first girl. I think that's kind of like a, we never really discussed that, but it was kind of common knowledge. I think that in conjunction with doing a foundation or doing something in my mom's honor was something my brothers and I always wanted to do. And we finally got to a point in life where it made sense and we could do it with the proper launching. And thanks to Taj, who didn't have a storyline in the show.
In our show.
Really pushed hard for it to make sure it got through. And and 3 years later, here's DDJF. But what it's done for us healing and helping others has been tremendous, not only for everyone, but for us. And I have to assume Kara Love Project is kind of been a similar thing for you. Would you say so? Or
It has. I will say that after the last fundraiser, I did have an emotional crash, because even though it's not grounded in reality, the little part of it will never bring her back.
Yes.
You know, even though but it does keep her with me in a profound way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're just a couple years in as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a process?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys are doing amazing things.
Thank you.
Like, can you talk about the Congo piece?
Yes, yes. So this was I mean, we were able to connect with Harriet Zaretsky, who also tragically lost a son who's much older than Kara. He was a teenager. And she has made a life of philanthropy through his loss, and she founded the Congo Peace School, which our October fundraiser our October backyard fundraiser benefited. We were lucky enough to have Macy Gray come out and perform. It was really sublime the way that it happened. You know, Harriet had the building built, and there were 160 kids, but there was room for only 400, but there's room for 480. Mm. So we really wanted to raise funds for all the kids. And, you know, a lot of them have been in the mines or victims of the warlords. Mm. They're, like, literally kidnapped. Mm. So it does. The Care of Love Project connects me to life and giving.
Mm. Mm.
Right.
To follow, to learn more about Care Love Project, go to Instagram, go to @ Care Love Project. I'll spell it out real quick. It's KaraLoveProject. Care Love Project. Go and follow. The Care Love Project promotes conscious giving and positive action for underserved and marginalized individuals and communities around the globe.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. What do you, you're young, the foundation is young. What would be your dream goal for the foundation? What do you want to, she's smiling. So it's, it's a good thing. And I love that because it I can speak to your genuine and authenticity and your connection to it.
Thank you.
So what would be the dream come true for the Care Love Project?
To connect for donors and recipients to feel connected, for everyone to feel connected, especially, to bring the world closer.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the dream. I really.
And it's much needed.
Very much needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. I love how you said connection. Because I think it stems from that. And I think, as Taj, Terrell, and I always talk about, it's the connection. Our people who are listening and following DDJF, they've built their own community within ours of helping each other whenever there's a situation. And it's that connection that's so powerful for the one that's in the hurt position, but also in the one that's in the helping position.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting and giving and helping is such a powerful thing. So we encourage everyone to help others. And if you're not in a position to do it on your own, you can either support something like DDJF or Care Love Project. There's opportunities to help. And not only is it the right thing to do, but it's a very fulfilling thing, even for yourself. So make sure you check Care Love Project. Again, it's @ Care Love Project. And that's KaraLoveProject. And the website
The website is www.thecareloveproject.com.
Lily?
Yeah.
I warned you before the show.
Yes.
You'll have like a 30-second, 1-minute window.
Oh, my goodness.
There.
To discuss whatever you want. And we are pretty much there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm just happy to be here and on the show. I'd love to explore collaboration with
absolutely.
D.D. Jackson Foundation.
Yes.
And I'd love to come back and share about the name work and just keep the dialogue happening. I'm like truly grateful that for how things are we're in flow.
Yes.
And I knew we were in flow from the orchids out front because those were the same orchids I had when Kara was born. Same color, same everything. And those orchids died the day she died.
Aww.
So the last bud came into bloom.
And so our listeners know there's orchids in the lobby of the station.
Oh, yeah.
That Lily saw.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I don't know.
Connected.
But I just know I'm in the right place from that.
Yeah.
Well, Lily, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for being on. And on behalf of our entire foundation and the brothers, of course, and all those that support. We thank you for joining and sharing your story. It means a lot to us.
Yes.
We have to close out the show. We're out of time. Is there anything, brothers, you guys want to say?
Just real quick, I know we got to close. I think it was great the way you said connected. It's the givers and the receivers that need to stay connected, but also just when we were doing the last three, the three-part series on ways to grieve, connection not only with people but even the one you lost. So it's always being connected, because that was a big thing I saw in a lot of the things listed, how to stay connected to the person that you lost. So I agree with that 100% to connect.
Well said, Terrell. Thank you for that. Again, final thank you to you, Lily. Yeah, thank you. Everyone have a great rest of your week. We're going to close out our show. And remember, just spread love and be the best person you can be. Adios. We'll see you next Wednesday. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.